Let's wait for a couple of them. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great. I'm going to begin this session now. My name is Monica Horton. I'm from the University of Westminster in London. I'm a PhD student at the university, and just 2 days ago, I completed the first draft of my entire PhD, all 286 pages. And I'm going to be speaking about the EU telecoms package. Who wants to restrict the internet and how? The EU telecoms package and three strikes. After me will be Jeremy Zimmermann of La Quadrature du Net in France, and he will tell you more about himself in a moment. So, the EU telecoms package and three strikes. I think there are two conversations going on which are quite different. There's the conversation we are having here at Republica, and there is a political conversation. The conversation at Republica is about the open internet. It's about innovation based on freedom of access, freedom to use web applications. People are excited about new ways of doing things online. We assume that it must be that way and that it will always stay that way. The political conversation, though, is quite different. The political conversation is about how to block the internet. I myself was quite shocked last week when I watched the British Parliament debating the conditions under which websites could be blocked. Why would the politicians want to block the internet? If the internet is such a driver of innovation, surely that's a good thing. Well, there are several reasons. In Germany, as I'm sure you will know, it's about protecting children. In China, it's about political censorship. In the UK and France, it's about copyright enforcement. They want to block your access to copyrighted music and entertainment files to stop them being played, shared, reworked, and used in presentations such as this. And I'm hoping this is going to work, which it's not. That kind of blocked. There was a piece of music that you were supposed to very briefly hear at this point, but the technology has failed me for some reason. Anyway, the point.
Sorry? If you sing the same song, it's legal as well.
It would be, absolutely. I'm an unlicensed singer, yes. Anyway, what are we talking about here? I've woken everybody up, that was the point. What we're talking about here is the system known as three strikes, or graduated response. Broadly speaking, this is a system of warnings sent to internet users. The warnings will be delivered by the rights holders who are the entertainment industries, and will be sent to your broadband provider, who will pass them on to you. After a certain number of warnings, your broadband provider can be asked to punish you. That punishment may be that you are cut off the internet, or it may be something else that they can think of. Three strikes is because it's often considered you get two warnings before you are cut off. Now, what does the European Union have to say about this? Well, the political conversation in the EU happened in the context of something called the telecoms package. In German, it's the Telekom Paket. The telecoms package is a big piece of legislation. It is a review of the commercial arrangements between the network operators. That is, it's about how Deutsche Telekom deals with Vodafone, for example. It also reviews how the network operators deal with you and I as consumers. It's about your contract with Deutsche Telekom, your individual relationship with Vodafone. That review took place between 2007 and 2009, and it ended on the 4th of November last year. Now, into this telecoms package, lobbyists inserted provisions which would support three strikes. I'm going to review three of these provisions now, and then I'm going to look at the final outcome of the telecoms package and present you with one or two conclusions that we might be able to draw from it. The first thing that the lobbyists wanted was a general obligation for the broadband providers to enforce copyright and to work with the rights holders to do that enforcement. This is the so-called cooperation amendment or cooperation provision. In German, it is the Zusammenarbeit. And I've put the text in German here underneath. So in English, it's national regulatory authorities may promote cooperation between the undertakings providing electronic communication services, that is Vodafone, Deutsche Telekom, and so on, or the sectors interested in the promotion of lawful content, which is broadly the entertainment industry companies like Disney or EMI. The next thing they did was they inserted an obligation for the broadband providers to tell you in your contract about the restrictions to the service. Now, the language here is a little bit strange. In English, it's conditions limiting access to and or use of services and applications. In German, you'll see here, it's Einschränkungen im Hinblick auf den Zugang zu oder die Nutzung von Diensten und Anwendungen. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, one condition limiting your access to or your use of the service could be that if you infringe copyright through your service, your broadband provider is entitled to cut off your service. Another condition limiting that they might put on is that the provider may stop you from accessing sites which are alleged to contain infringing content. The third provision says that this directive neither mandates nor prohibits conditions limiting users' access to and or use of services. So in German, diese Richtlinie fordert weder von den Anbietern die Maßgabe den, or without reading it all, the important text, die fordert weder die den Zugang zu oder die Nutzung von Diensten und Anwendungen durch die Nutzer einschränken, noch verbietet sie diese. That's the important text there. So basically, the EU is saying that member state governments, like the German government or whoever, does not have to do it. They don't have to impose any restrictions through the law, but it is open for them to do it. And governments such as the UK and France are doing it. This text does also have implications, by the way, other than copyrighted content, which I believe Jeremy will be addressing. Now, the European Parliament wasn't entirely happy about these provisions. And some of you will know about the famous Amendment 138, which wanted to impose a prior judicial ruling. Now, that would have meant that the entertainment industries would have had to get a court ruling, which they would then pass to the broadband provider. So the broadband provider would only be able to cut you off if they received notice that there was a court ruling against you. Now, Amendment 138 would have then neutered or weakened these other provisions that we have just seen in the package. It didn't survive, partly for legal technical reasons, but the European Parliament did want to preserve that principle. And so, They wrote some other texts. Now, this text, again, is a little complicated. It's not entirely clear. But what it does say is where governments are introducing legislation which is liable to restrict your fundamental rights, and that is understood to mean three strikes legislation in particular, any measures to restrict your access must be appropriate, proportionate, and necessary within a democratic society. The implementation must comply with the European Convention on Human Rights. You must have effective judicial protection and due process. Now, this is trying to describe a court process, and it's arguable whether it really does or doesn't and how far it goes. But that's what they intended to do. And respect for the principle of the presumption of innocence and the right to privacy. So they wanted to preserve the principle that you are presumed innocent until a court has proved you not to be. And it is to be a prior fair and impartial procedure, a procedure imposed before the sanction is given. Now, why is this important? I'd just like to put forward a few thoughts here for you about what this actually means and what does the telecoms package as we have it now, on the one hand with these provisions where broadband providers and governments may impose restrictions on the internet, and on the other hand this kind of caveat that you have to go through some kind of court process. What does that mean? We have a scenario where the big entertainment corporations want to restrict your access to the internet. They want the state to authorize a punishment for you if you infringe copyright. But three strikes, as they propose it, is arguably private justice. The rights holders accuse, the broadband provider implements the punishment. It will be automated. The whole point of three strikes is that millions of people are file sharing. There's an IFPI figure around that says 6 million people in the UK infringe copyright through file sharing. Whether or not that's true, there are millions of people they want to go after. They cannot do this any other way except through automation. And we heard in the previous session about deep packet inspection and some of the possibilities there. It also is a system which assumes you are guilty. And it is dependent on the implementation whether or not you have any rights to appeal or to for your case to be heard in any way. On the other hand, the principles of the EU legal system as they have stood until now are that you do have a right to be heard if you are accused of a crime. You are presumed innocent until you are proven guilty, and only if you are proven guilty is a punishment given to you. And it would seem to me, just to conclude, that we have two conversations going on here. Oh, sorry, just as we had the two conversations going on about the internet, we also have two systems of justice being proposed. One is the established system of justice, where the presumption of innocence is paramount. And the other is an automated private system to support the entertainment industries. And the point that I would like to make today is to show you just how easily this switch can be made by making some very small adjustments to communications law. Does anybody have any questions immediately? Otherwise, Jeremy will speak, and then we'll take questions together afterwards.
I was just wondering. You said in the package text it says they may cooperate. the legal authorities with the internet providers. I mean, they can cooperate anyway. What does it change? Does it change anything if they write it, they may cooperate?
Okay, there's two points you've got there. One is the technical legal language. May means it is optional. If it said shall,
that's
it originally
why,
said shall. And shall would have meant that every EU government would have to implement.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because it says may and it's really weak.
It's up to the government, but the government can choose, the member state government can choose whether or not. But the point is that this is in the law, and that's what the rights holders want. So the rights holders can then go to governments who may or may not worry about the difference between may and shall. They can say you're supposed to do this.
If they are lawyers, they should care about the difference, but okay.
Look at what's happened in Britain and in France and decide on that one.
Yeah.
That's what the rights holders wanted. Chap over there and then somebody over here.
Do you foresee any instances where cases might sort of arrive before the ECHR? It was referenced in the article there.
It's questionable. I mean, yes, it certainly could be the case if someone can bring a case, but it takes somebody with the will and the money to bring a case.
Well, I just find it questionable that someone would be able to make a case sort of that their fundamental human rights have been breached by not being able to access the internet. Pardon?
Can you say who you are and who you represent?
Oh, I don't represent anyone. I'm here as a private person.
Okay.
I will get into the details.
Yeah, I think, okay, Jeremy's presentation, I think, is going to deal more with the fundamental rights issues. But the issue that I'm concerned about is not whether you can justify file sharing. Oh, sorry, yeah. It's not whether you can justify file sharing. It's about restriction of access, so that the restrictions to support these industries will have other consequences for restricting other things. So that is really the point where you have the human rights aspect under the freedom of expression point. Does that kind of help?
Hi, I'm Edward Hasbrook, and I'm with the National Writers Union in the United States, among other hats. And I wanted to draw a distinction between two terms which you used somewhat interchangeably, the entertainment or publishing industry and the rights holders. Yeah. Because the reality, as groups like the Writers Union and other creators groups have been pressing against those publishers, is that frequently those who are asserting copyright claims against downloaders and the public are not the rights holders. They are making false claims. They are copyright thieves who never licensed the relevant rights from the actual rights holders, who remain the creators, the writers, the musicians. And so I think it would be a mistake for the public to either accept uncritically the claims of these publishing companies to actually be the rights holders, or to smear with the same brush the creators, whose common enemy is often the publishers, who are stealing these copyrights, claiming rights they don't have and didn't pay for, and then prosecuting these bogus claims against the public.
Sure. Okay. If there are no more questions, I'll pass over to Jeremy.
Okay. Thank you.